welcome to another episode of Honest to a Malt with myself, Dunkin' Donuts, and Mike, aka Tupid. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Very good, Dunkin' Donuts. How are we?
Well, yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Just be careful there. No sudden movements. You've been making a lot of strange noises.
Yes, I'll explain more later. Yeah.
If he spasms, he's not doing anything weird. He's just an overweight
42-year-old male.
Yeah, he's in peak physical condition.
It's shot knees, shot back, shot ass.
Yeah, 100%. So what's the name of the episode today, Tupids?
So we are episode 45, and the episode title is Edinburgh.
Edinburgh. So we both went to Edinburgh days apart, didn't we?
Yeah, we timed it really well. So I left and you went up. So in theory, I suppose there was a longer exposure to Honest or Malt in Edinburgh unplanned than the two of us if we'd gone together. So
I tried to be out there at the same time as you, but I was there for work, and you were there for leisure.
No, I was. It was kind of work. I was going to go on another podcast, but it got cancelled. So, it just turned out to be a
almost famous, Mike. Almost
can't write that business
so
expense
close.
Off anymore.
So close to being famous.
It's been ages since I've been on a podcast.
Yeah.
Days.
Oh, you could have, you know, ranted about what's happened in your week and you didn't get the chance.
No.
Saved it all for this one.
Speaking of, Duncan, what's in your glass and what's been up your ass?
What's in your glass? What's in your glass? What's in your glass?
What's in my glass today? Well, I sent you three samples of... Yeah. The last three samples of Somerton Club. So we're going to be trying the last three Somerton Clubs, which is Old Pulteney Port Finish, Milk and Honey, some sort of special concoction, small batch they put together.
Yeah.
And the English whiskey, or English whiskey, Adnams, it's just because they've written English whiskey on the bottle. So it's incredibly confusing, Dan, customer feedback. It's Adnams whiskey, which is 10 years old, and it seems to be a first fill bourbon cask.
And you also sent me some really sugary Tibetan tea of some sort.
Latvian tea liqueur called Tatra tea, to see what you thought of it. 52% though.
Yeah, I took the lid off and I just went, is this whiskey? Because I'm not going to drink this.
No, it's not.
And I was like, oh my God, that's horrendous.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I've also got lined up the Glentockers from Signature Vintage, the 100 proof 57.1% one in the Oloroso, which I'm calling a celery bomb.
A celery bomb.
Yeah.
We'll cover that.
And that's what's in my glass right now. What's been up my jacksie? Mainly getting holes in underwear and trousers, or pants if you're American.
Yeah. Pants.
Pants. I'm just a bit fed up of it, really. So I think I lost another pair of jeans or another pair of pants. And
pants you, mean you lost them?
Well,
you've just
you get a hole in the crutch.
You've
right?
lost them, but this is my fallen homies.
No, but it doesn't. I've got big thighs, right? So what happens is...
I'm afraid Duncan's lost someone close to him today. You're going to have to be very sensitive now. Oh, God, is it a relation? No, he's lost a pair of Levi's. His bum cheek's just blown out, you know. So it's going to have to lay
it. What happens is they start to go, and then...
Where do they go? In the crotch?
In the crotch area. And you can never save them. You can't save them. And then you just have to chuck them away, and they'll be perfectly fine, except they've got a hole in the crotch. And as they start to go, you think, I can get away with this for a bit longer.
Yeah.
And I remember the worst one I've ever had was I was in work in Cambridge.
Did a ball fall out?
Always wear underpants. And I went under the desk to go and pick something up. And as I went under the desk... my jeans tore in the crotch area quite significantly.
Yeah.
Something you wouldn't be able to get away with. And I think it was probably a day where I wasn't wearing black underwear, but even if I was, I thought this is just too much.
Amazing.
And I had to make an excuse and go to the local shopping centre and go and buy another pair of jeans.
Mate,
they changed.
That reminds me so much. One of the boys in work, we were having a stupidly busy day. It was a really important event, and everyone's down there all suited and booted. And one of the lads comes in and his suit probably hasn't been worn for a couple of years, should we say. And it was a tight as a tiger. And he dropped something on the floor and basically did a squat to pick it up. And
you have to squat when you can't just lean forwards over.
The resulting explosion of cotton sounded like a gunshot, and people hit the deck because they thought someone had fired a gun. It was like an airbag going off. There was dust like raising up.
That's because it was so tight. Yeah.
Big shout out to you, Alistair. That's a special mention.
I just want to point out, in case people are getting the wrong idea now, my jeans are not so tight. That's not the problem. It's just general wearage. Right?
Yeah.
Once I've managed to rip them.
No. Today. I can recommend a Welsh company called Antur, A-N-T-U-R. They are specially designed jeans not to wear out in the crotch. Not made in Wales, obviously. This is in a sweatshop
just
somewhere.
Extra crotch patches.
Supported crotch. They're stretchy.
Reinforced
they're wonderful.
Crotch.
Reinforced. Mate, these bad boys will last you. And that is a free advert for you, Antur. I mean, feel free to send me some jeans because, they are decent. But have a look.
We'll see. I will withhold judgment until I've worn the pair for longer than a pair usually lasts.
Yeah.
And so what about you? What's in your glass right now? What is in your glass now?
What is in my glass at the moment is a sample that you kindly sent through the snail mail, as it's called. The Black Friday 15-year-old Glenkinchie 54.2% dram. And,
cool. You got the old...
I've got your dad here next to me. It smells nice.
Nice.
Tastes...
I think it's really good, that one, but...
Tastes very nice. Yeah, joking aside,
I think it's
that's
amazing.
Nice.
It's actually really good. When it was in the sale, really good value. Not that it's bad value on it when it's not, but, get 15 quid off, isn't it? So what's been up your arse, Tim?
What's been up my arse, again, is just pain. Quite frankly, there's been a pain up my arse.
That is a soundbite which will get used again and again.
Yeah, it's going to be your cantaloupes. We can mix it into songs. It's, horrendous.
Pain.
Honestly, I mentioned I had sciatica coming the other day, and after the 4-hour train journey to Edinburgh and 4-hour train journey back, then the hour to get to my house, by the time I got home, I was done. Like, I was spasming massively in my leg. So got hold of someone and got some physio, and like the first session just goes in and he's like, I do not know what's wrong with you. Like, brilliant. He goes, it's either... you've got like some trapped nerve in your back, which would make sense of what's happened previously. Or it could be that your hamstring is actually dislocating from your hip joint. I'm like, sorry?
It could be the guilt that's weighing on you for these personal attack rants that you've been having against people. That's what it is, really.
It's actually all there.
In your head. But it's what's the word? Manifesting itself. Manifesting itself as a physical pain in you.
I had feedback. I've had people come in and say that bit absolutely made me spit my drink out laughing at my rant. And I'm like, yes, I will continue showing my true self. I think.
Yeah, fair enough.
So what's up my ass is the NHS. It's been nearly, it's got to be 2 months since I've been to the doctors and he still hasn't sent me for any MRIs. So, I'm speaking to him Wednesday and I'm going to kick his ass.
I'll keep my fingers crossed for you. So you've also got the Somerton whiskies poured, I presume, the last three.
They're not poured, but they are here ready to go. Shall I pour them now?
You get them poured. And whilst you get them poured, I will... we have a listener story.
We'll pause for an ad break. Antur Jeans stops Duncan's balls falling out at business meetings.
Always wear black underwear, just in case, though. if your jeans are black, otherwise that'd be a terrible life. You've got white jeans and black underwear. Coordinate your underwear with your jeans.
Yeah. To be fair, that is a consideration. I had to do that.
When they
do start going, you can't wear like...
even when you get a little hole,
anymore.
Just to get a little hole, and you think, I have to wear the same colour underwear.
I have got several denim coloured boxer shorts, so just in case it does happen,
I take mine down to the local B&Q and get them colour matched. Right, hang on, I've got a listener story. Someone's written in.
I digress.
This is Gordon from Tooting. He says, during my weekly private measurement session, it's become apparent that I am now suffering from penile microscopy. The only lifestyle... Sorry, Mike, can you take this seriously, please? Mike, please. Seriously, it's a listener story. The only lifestyle change I can identify is taking your advice about buying a bottle of Siren Bay. I used to be a keen swimmer, but now I get laughed out of the changing rooms. Don't let the mermaid on the label fool you. This will ruin any activity that requires you to wear trunks. So... Sorry about that, Gordon from Tooting.
Siren Bay has caused pool shrinkage, is what's happened there.
Apparently. No. It's an angry listener.
Yeah. Just shake it a couple of times, not too long.
finished off a bottle of that Siren Bay.
And immediately cracked another one.
Yeah, this week. No, there's a spare one. The last dram has gone to Pad Whiskey in the post. So we'll go to him in the post for him to try.
I've got some samples I need to send out, including to you. Although we're meeting up, so I'll just give them to you in person.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Thanks. And also, I did a poll on Twitter to ask people, and it was something that I wanted to know. Like, the deals are keep rolling on.
Yes.
It's like unlimited deals. For example, the last one, I think, was this Christmas Big Peat Sherry Edition.
Yep.
Which is decent ABV, sort of 54%-ish. All the way down to £38.
I mean, was that the Douglas Lang Christmas sale?
Yeah, it's like incredible value.
Yeah, it's finished now, hasn't it? Finished a couple of days ago.
No, it's still on right now.
Right now?
Not on the Douglas Lang website, on the Master of Malt one. Point is, where do you cut it off? So I asked the question, and so far about 120 people have responded.
Nice.
I think I started it this morning.
Well done. I get about four people respond to any polls.
It all really depends on whether people like want to see the answer to what you've asked the question about. So I said, there's been a run on really great whiskey deals recently, back to 2021 prices in many cases. What is your view? And I asked, the deals will get better, take advantage and buy now, or I've too much whiskey. And 38% have said the deals will get better.
Yep.
26% have said take advantage and buy now. And 36% have said I've too much whiskey. I genuinely wanted to know, because I kind of feel like, is this just, we're just seeing some exceptional deals, or is this going to just, is it these discounts going to keep going and going and going? And I kind of feel like they're going to keep going. So we shouldn't be panicking about, oh my God, I have to have that, because we've been used to these higher prices for a while. And now we're getting these mad deals.
I wanted a fourth option of all of the above, because every one of those actually suits me. But I plumped for, I think, hold out, they're going to get cheaper.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I'm thinking. But so I'm trying to be picky. But it's really hard.
Yeah, well, I said I'm not gonna. I got a few things I'm eyeing up, and they're all, again, as usual, good value.
My days. Did you see the big Boutique Dave? Doing the side by side with
Big Boutique Dave.
Big Dave.
Is that his side name?
Bushy
Boutique Big Dave.
Suited and booted.
Yeah.
He did a side by side with Talisker 18 with their one with a deer on it.
Yeah. Right.
45.8%. Strong nod to the fact it's probably Talisker 18, right? It does feel like Atom Brands have just got a ton of Talisker 18 and just bottled it under whatever they feel like.
I think they've stolen it. They've definitely stolen some casks.
He did mention PX in the mix, though, in addition to the usual casks that Talisker has come out of. So maybe they've got a slightly different mix. But that also on offer is coming down to £67-68 with a sort of 20% off.
It's good.
So, you know, that's just saying, maybe Talisker can't offload all of their whiskey at £175 a pop a bottle for 18-year-old. Feels like maybe that's
what's going on there. Yeah, the indies are maybe, because they've kept honest on their pricing generally.
Right, could be. So where do you want to go to first today? You want to start with your Edinburgh trip, or start with the Somerton whiskies, or just layer it all together?
I say let's start with Edinburgh.
Go on then.
So, what a wonderful place.
Have you been before?
I've been when I was a sort of non-whiskey fan or non-whiskey lover, put it that way. Liked whiskey but wasn't like obsessed with it. I think if I told you the story when I went to the rugby and conned someone in a whiskey shop to give me a load of free stuff, really good whiskey before the game.
What, this time?
No, not this time. This was years back, probably 2005 maybe. Okay. So I went in and said, I want a Welsh top. I don't know how he fell for it, really. I said, I want to buy a special bottle for my dad. It's his 70th, so I want to spend a fair bit of money on it. And basically he gave me loads and loads of whiskey. And then I went, that Scottish Leader looks decent. I'll have a bottle of that. It was like £8. And he was just fuming.
That's horrendous. And I was sounds like you all over.
Yeah, and I was laughing my head off. Now I look back going, what a knobber. What a knob you were.
Do you really feel like that? I feel like you'd still do that today if you could get away with it.
No, I don't need to now. I can just chat to people and get free whiskey.
All right.
Just so.
You're like, I'm kind of a big deal. Do you know who I am? Your approach has changed.
My missus just like goes, oh, don't go just talking to random people, please. And I'm just going to somewhere. I'll start randomly just like, right, I'm going to talk to
you. I'd be like your missus then in that case. I'd be like, Mike, come on, just not again. can't we just enjoy a bit of peace and quiet?
No. So got it to Edinburgh. Train up from London and was met off the train by our new musical influence, Cliff. He likes to do a few little musical numbers for the show. You've started to see him appear at the end of episodes and things. He picked me up essentially and walked me to Ben.
Over the shoulder?
No.
Fireman's lift?
No. No offence. He hasn't got the back for it.
Over the threshold? Did he have you in the arms in front?
But he did take me around the back of Edinburgh Station, and he took me past the steps from train spotting,
where they
run down, and then there's that little road where he gets run over by the car.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I need to get a picture of that. That's absolutely amazing. I was genuinely like, ah, oh, that's so good. So I flew from there and, bumped into Ben, a couple of his mates, and we went for a few jars. We went to a venue that had axe throwing. We didn't do any axe throwing, beer pong.
Did you do any beer
lots
pong?
Of tenants. Nah. It was just a venue. It was really busy because it was rugby the next day. There was loads of English people there. So it was flocked with Edinburgh types. So, we went from there, just had a couple of civilised whiskies then, and we ended up in some weird little underground piano bar, I think called Rat Pack, and I think I got in at 2:30 on Saturday morning.
Good effort.
Yes, I'm too old to stay out till that time. So when I woke up the next day, I was like, I'll go down for breakfast, just close my eyes, and then woke up to a message from Ben going, I'll meet you in 30 minutes. And I was like, oh my God, it's like 12 o'clock or whatever. So I had to shower and scurry away to carry on drinking.
It sounds like a boot camp.
Yeah.
Get up.
And then, wander over to Murrayfield. Amazing. Got hosted corporate hospitality before the game, drinking lots and lots of wine and beer, and then watch the game, watch Scotland beat England. I was probably cheering more than the Scottish. Atmosphere in bloody Murrayfield, rubbish. You should all be ashamed of yourselves. kick off and like anthems is amazing, and then could hear a pin drop.
It's a shame.
Whether it was just stress over the rugby.
Because you're in the corporate hospitality area or whatever.
No, we're back in the normal stadium. No, back in with the mixing with the normos after the sort of start bit, and then just a really weird atmosphere in there. Like, and I was like to the Scottish players, chill out, you're going to smash them, easy, like not a question, you're going to beat the English, no worries. And they all weren't convinced, but and then free drinks afterwards. Myself and Ben went to SMWS in Queen Street. Do you remember I had those vouchers from SMWS?
Vouchers.
I mulled that. We had free bottle of red wine. We definitely needed that because we could barely speak. a starter and a main between us. We just shared a steak and some chips or something, I think. And then just had a load of whiskey. And then
that's because when you sign up, you go for the additional vouchers.
Yeah.
Have all this stuff to use.
Makes better financial sense if you're going to use them. So that was Saturday. I got back at a reasonable hour Saturday, got some well-needed kip. So then Sunday went wandering and bumped into the Royal Mile Whiskey Shop, popped into there, and that's where I came across the godly release of the Signatory bottlings, the 100 proof whiskies.
So we both bought something from that in days apart, didn't we?
Yeah.
We both went in.
Yeah. So I went in there, I was like, what are these like? And they were like, oh, I don't know, we haven't actually tasted them yet. We've only had them in a couple of days. I went, right, I'll have that one. So I got the Glentockers and the Ben Nevis, and just opened the Ben Nevis straight away in the shop and shared it with the staff, which obviously then resulted in me having other shares of whiskies in there.
What did they share back with you then?
I had some like random, I think, was it Berry Brothers and Rudd releases? Some Irish whiskey.
Decent.
Yeah, it's just a nice chat.
That's
really
the way to do it then. Crack your bottle open in the shop if you haven't tried it.
Then. And then I said, I'm off to this place called Tipsy Midgey tonight. They're doing a daft mill tasting, 3 daft mills for a tenner. And they were like, what? So, one of the blokes actually turned up in the evening. We had a lovely evening in what is my favourite whiskey bar, hands down.
Oh, that's
the
decent.
The best whiskey bar I've ever been to, Tipsy Midgey. It's run by Whiskey Forager, Colin, and it is spectacular. It opens from 5 p.m., closes about 10, really short hours, but just proper chilled atmosphere. I went in there on my own. I was the first one at the door. And then within about sort of 10-15 minutes, I bumped into a load of new people and was chatting away. So hello to Ed, Donald and Sam, and Donald's wife. It was mega. Really good evening. I think I came away paying not a lot of money, and we drank very decent whiskey. So yeah, he is one of the nicest people I've ever met in whiskey, and that venue is absolutely spectacular. So try and get there on a Sunday. It's bargains. He does a Monday special as well, where he does any blend for £3. And he'll be pulling out some absolute cracking blends and some really old ones as well. So you might get your 70s grouse again.
Ooh, 70s grouse.
Yeah. So sadly, closed when you were up there, because I told him you were coming.
The next time I go, I know he's got closed on Tuesday and Wednesday. I'll go there on a different day, or hopefully we'll be there together again.
But that was absolutely fantastic. And the only thing I'm a bit disappointed about is that I didn't get the train over to Glasgow and go and see this amazing Willy Wonka thing that everyone's kicking off about. It's apparently like the worst show that's ever been put on. Have you seen it? It was the Willy Wonka experience.
It's so bad it's good type of thing.
Oh, mate, the Willy Wonka experience, it was for kids. It was billed as basically just like the movie. And it was in a warehouse in Glasgow. And they went in, it's just people in really shit costumes with like old sort of you'd see in a community centre in the 70s, just with like mixing various different squashes to be a drink. Just absolutely awful.
And what's the damage to go and have a gig like
that? I think he was charging people something like £40 to get in.
Oh, man, he's
absolute charlatan. So yeah, he got shut down after like the same day because he was going to get his head kicked in. I think some reporter got hold of him scurrying at the back to get away. So
right,
good bants on my weekend. So yeah,
I've been watching all the Rise of the Foot Soldier films recently, and that sounds like the kind of thing that would surreally happen in that, just a bit like as like a sort of side gig before somebody gets their head stoved in,
mate. Have a Google of it, you'll laugh your head off when you see the pictures of how shit it is.
So have you I've got a couple of questions for you then. So one, I've done a Dartmoor flight. I think I did like five of them at some point, including the Facebook one and some sort of some single cask. I haven't tried the 15-year-old, but I've tried a bunch of other stuff. It does have a really unique taste. What did you think to the
so Dartmoor? We did the summer 09 and then the winter 10, winter 11.
Tried the summer
09. And then Colin pulled out an 06 bottling. The 06 one and the 09 one were nicest. The 09, for me, significantly better than anything else there.
Right.
Very Bimba-like with that sweet sort of cheesecake note, which I love. A hell of a lot going on with the 09. Far better than the rest of them.
Yeah, I think one of the summer ones was my favourite. For some reason, I didn't like the winter ones as much.
Yeah, I mean, they're still good value if you can get hold of them. Mm. They're not like majorly bad. When you look at actually what goes into it, because they're doing everything properly. But yeah, not amazing. Yeah, 09, decent dram. The others were like, meh. Kind of tried it, but for a tenner,
good value.
Cannot knock it.
So, what do you think so far then of these 100 proof 57.1% signature vintages? Because I bought a bottle of the Glentockers from the shop in Edinburgh, and I asked them, have any of you tried it? And one of them said he had.
Yeah. Some Welsh wanker opened it in the store the other day.
Because you were asking him, it was a different fella, but there was only one that said he'd tried it, so they must have tons of staff there. And he was like, I'd recommend the Glentockers over the Ben Nevis.
Yeah.
And for me, it's down now way past the shoulder. It takes water like a trooper. I mean, you could go half and half and you wouldn't notice. So kind of for value, I mean, the fact that you can pour half water in it and it still tastes
like... It's old Imperial 100 proof, so it's 57.1%.
57.1, it's the old school thing,
So it takes a hell of a lot
of
water.
There's a lot of whiskies that are 60%. If I add water to, I feel like it's ruined them, but this doesn't for some reason, because it's...
Nope.
I think it's first fill Oloroso. It's not a finish, is it?
It is. It doesn't really say. I think it's a combo of...
It's a
lot.
Small batch, isn't it? It could be anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's decent.
I was just getting like...
It's fresh sherry. Like
full Oloroso notes on it. Yeah. Like leather, celery.
If you like this... Yeah, celery!
Celery.
Like a Chelsea fan.
Celery. But now it's had a bit of air.
Yeah.
And I've poured more water in. Now I'm starting to get some of the chocolate notes coming through on it. And a bit more kind of like caramel and stuff.
Yeah.
So... I'm liking it more now, but I have to say, for £45, whilst it represents excellent value, I'm not in love with the taste.
Yeah. Right? See, I really like the Nevis. The Nevis has... Yeah,
wish I got that one.
Struck a chord with me massively, so that was really nice. But again, takes loads of water. I really wanted the Bunnahavan as well, peated Bunnah. So that's kind of on my list, obviously, along with the peated cognac that Ian mentioned on the last pod. I've got a couple of things I kind of want to buy at the moment, but
Peat cognac's on my list.
Maybe they still represent bottle. Such. Joey doesn't share food.
Don't share. You buy a bottle then, and I'll just come around and take a bottle.
You just drink.
Otherwise,
it.
I'll be buying it. That's the thing. Cause, like, it's so good that one.
Yeah,
the peat cognac cask. I mean, I've tried it, haven't I? Because I had a sample off Cliff.
Yeah. Like I said, good value. I really enjoy them. I like the Tockers. Again, don't be afraid to add water because, like you said, it does take a hell of a lot and it doesn't kill it. It actually brings out a lot more as you water it down. So I was having a mess about it the other day. Yeah. I put in some a couple of drops of maple syrup as well to a glass based on your last little mention.
Oh, with that MacMira that I put
maple syrup makes every whiskey taste better.
Yeah. I feel like that could well be the case.
Yeah. Because it's probably just human instinct that you're like, oh, I like sugar, I want more of this. It really did, knock some drams up.
It really pimped that MacMira one, the extra rock one. Like, it's
pimp dope. My dram.
Pimp my dram. We'll get Ali G to present it. Did he present one of them? Oh, Exhibit did the American one.
No, Exhibit
one,
did. Exhibit did. Yeah. And then we had the BBC rapper. What's his name?
Oh.
Drop the bomb.
Tim Westwood.
Anyway, I digress. Let's get back. How was your Edinburgh?
Well, we bought the same bottle from the same shop. I was there for work, so I did lots of walking around and business meetings. But I did make time to go to the same SMWS bar, the Queen Street one that you did.
Yeah.
Very expensive chips, £5 for a portion of chips. Somebody did message me on Twitter and they were like, where are your chips? Oh, I can't argue with that. But they were good chips with nice ketchup. And I think they had no Scotia. So that was a bit of a sort of, you'd already told me.
Yeah, we asked for Scotia, none there.
Yeah, you already told me, but I was just having a look at what I tried. I was like, okay, if you haven't got any Scotia, have you got some Ardmore? And they did. Hog roast and marshmallows to toast. I think that was the one. Yeah, it was really, it was good. Not as good as the Smoky Bloody Mary one I tried. It was like charred pork belly with thick layer of crackling sizzled beside sausages while plumes of fragrant smoke wafted over chestnuts and treacle. It was kind of sweet and meaty. It was good. Ardmore's, you can't really go wrong with an Ardmore. And then I asked for something wacky because I was having these chips with ketchup. And they said, okay, they've got a...
Because that is wacky as fuck.
Got a Highland Park. It was Gorgonzola's Burning. It was honey glazed Gorgonzola baked on charred pine plank. Comes with yucca, lipsy, minty, Sereno ham or something. I don't know. Point is, it had... Serena. All this different type of smoked meat and different types of cheese in it. It was a bit wacky. It reminded me in a way of that Chilton Benriach, I think, called Fasimatch or Fasimac or something like that. It was a bit bonkers, which was good, which was what I'd asked for. So the staff really hit the brief. Great staff there, really friendly.
Really so nice venue, wasn't it?
Yeah. I met Cliff on the Wednesday because obviously he's like a bit of an extended part of the team now. Yeah. And we went to the Bow Bar together and it was Whiskey Wednesday.
Telling me
so
about the Bow Bar.
So there's just so many good value drams. That's really a tip if you're there on a Wednesday. The stout in there was really good. They had some Loch Lomond stout and they had, it's just good, you know, like a good atmosphere. That's the pub that Ian Rankin can be found in sometimes in the corner in his favourite seat. So, you know, it's got a bit of, it's on that nice cobbled hill.
Yeah.
There was loads of good stuff. What did we try? We tried Glen Grant, which had been reduced from £19 to £7, which was a single cask selection, 22-year-old.
Oh, yeah, you had a real good discount list.
I mean, the thing is, everything was so well discounted there. We could have just stayed there, but in the end, we wanted to go to the Ensign Ewart you know, see what break-even drams they had. Everybody was picking different stuff.
Blindly picking anything, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what should we have? So we went to the Ensign Ewart, and they happened to have, walked in, hoping for big things. Boom, Springbank 25's behind the bar. And I'm like, Cliff said, is that break even? And the guy, nice guy, tall, skinny guy, big beard. He said, yeah. I said two of those straight away. Cliff's like, I'm like, Cliff, don't worry about it. Let's just get it. How often are you going to get to try Springbank 25? It was break even, so it was about £18, 80-ish or something for the dram. Yeah.
Quality.
Yeah, quality, right? And there were then those little sort of glasses that Somerton Club use as their club glass. You know, the ones that aren't Glencairns and it's not a Capita. Anyway, so we poured that, got a couple of pints. I got a pint of plain and Cliff got something random. He was like trying to convince me to drink ale. I was like, it's just going to mess my stomach up.
Yeah.
Had a pint, sat down, gave it 25, 30 minutes and then we tried it.
Yeah.
So it kind of had a real strong rum vibe going on. It's quite sort of metallic, very, very minerally, right?
Mm.
So much funk. I mean, when people talk about getting funk in Springbank, The funk was off the chart. Would I want a bottle in the cupboard? I don't know, really, to be honest. I think that...
If it was unbranded, unaged, would you drink it? Would you buy it?
No, I think in truth, no is the answer. Yeah. But to get to try it for break even, like at cost, I mean, incredible.
Yeah, yeah, like, absolutely.
It was just very trippy. Like it was
plus
kind of
it's
a really,
so good for the gram.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, you're not going to not try it, are you? If you go in, Mike, you would have bought it.
Oh yeah, 100%. I tried going there, and it was closed for a private tasting.
The week before,
crying
they had,
at the window, like with running my fingers down it slowly.
The week before, they had local barley, and then we went to some sort of Italian or something, and then I think we maybe went back somewhere else.
Anyway. Pizza Hut, mate. It's not Italian.
And that was a nice. Yeah. It actually was. We went to a restaurant that Cliff goes to with his son, which is sort of. Sometimes or something like that. So it was decent. Can't remember the name of it.
Probably. I went to Taco Bell Friday night.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah.
The only Taco Bell.
In the morning, she went, time to get in. I was like, reckon about midnight, I reckon. You were out later than midnight. I went, not sure. Don't think I was. Rolled in my pit onto a receipt. I was in Taco Bell at 2:30. Yeah, who knew Edinburgh had a Taco Bell?
My naughty go-to if I'm out and about would be Five Guys, and I did get a Five Guys in Edinburgh. Like I
heard you had like you've had I taken Five Guys before.
Yeah, that's my guilty. Like if I'm in Central London or if I'm somewhere else and I need to eat, I don't get chips. I just get the burger, get everything on it.
It's so good.
Filthy in a good way.
Yeah.
So it's good. So, you know, thanks very much for thanks to Cliff for having a good laugh out on that night out. And other than that, I think it's just business stuff really. So
yeah,
lots of walking around, lots of meetings and things. Yeah. But I'll always remember that Springbank 25 because I'd never tried it. Tried loads of local barley.
I imagine very few people have.
Do you know what? I think I might have tried one Springbank 25 actually, but it's just been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's possible I have tried one other. Anyways, we should get into these Somerton whiskies.
Yes, let's do that. Cue funky music.
All right.
Somerton Draft. Somerton.
Cheers. So, Adnams 48.8% ex bourbon cask.
Yep.
Good nose, chalky, sweet, fruity.
Yeah, honey. So this is the second oldest English whiskey distillery, I think. I think it's excellent.
Buckets of honey on the palate.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of yellow apple.
Oh, it's just a bit floral.
Have you put maple syrup in this?
No. It's sweet. It's cloying, isn't it, right?
Mm.
No, I think it's delicious.
That really does stick to the glass.
Yeah, it's really, really, it's just like sweet, but not like sugar sweet, like you said, like a honey sweetness.
Yeah.
Slightly floral.
Kind of like sugar puffs.
Kind of sugar. There's also that slightly chalky note that you mentioned as well, isn't it? And I think there's a little bit of salinity, and it's in Southwold, and Southwold is by the sea. And I asked, and the casks are stored by the sea in Southwold. So it's possible there's more sort of saltiness in the air.
So not only do they do amazing beers, they now do bloody decent whiskey by the looks of
it. It's really good, isn't it?
Like that. That's a really great start.
Really great start.
If that was blind, I'd probably have gone Irish. I'd have said that was an old Irish, maybe like a sort of 14-year-old or something. It reminds me of the old boutique-y.
So do you think it has a sort of biscuit note then? Or?
Yeah. It's got that, there's a slight, I say metallic, it's not the right note.
Right.
The kind of thing you get sometimes through Irish drams, you get this like tinkering onto metallic notes.
Right.
And it's kind of in there, but easily fall for the Irish.
All these are 50 quid. So what's your view on it for 50 quid?
Banger.
Yeah, I feel like it is. I think it's the best one I've had in a while, to be honest. But we'll find out what you like and what you don't like. For me, I was over the moon with this once I tried it. Anyway, it doesn't have a long finish. The finish is kind of short to medium, really. And it's kind of sweet, chalky, right? Maybe a tiny bit of
black pepper, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A little bit of pepper in there.
Mm. Yeah. Good, though. For 50 quid, that's... Again, lines up with Somerton, something that you may not have bought yourself or wouldn't have ever considered buying. I've always been curious about the Adnams whiskey.
Adnams,
to see what they're like. So,
the Adnams family.
Decent. Happy with that.
Yeah, right. Which one next? The Old Pulteney.
Old Pulteney, good, because I wanted to try this because it was literally, I think it got declared as their bottling just shortly after I'd said, I need to buy more Old Pontney. I haven't bought any in ages.
So. Well, it's £75. Yeah, but the club bottle is £50. So I feel like I would never buy this for £75.
I definitely wouldn't buy it for £75. Not a chance in hell.
This one is a Coastal Series Port Wine Cask Matured, matured in ex-bourbon casks and port casks from the Douro Valley of Portugal. Fruity, sweet, and spicy. 46%.
Really good wine there in that region. Aldi do a cracking Douro Reserva, £6.50.
There you go.
Have a look.
Top tip. Expanding into wine now.
Good nose. Doesn't smell coastal.
You definitely get the port on the nose.
Strawberries, fresh strawberry, strawberry jam, and strawberry laces. Basically strawberry. Strawberry on the nose.
Yeah. When I've tried it before, mostly strawberry. Like very strawberry heavy, which is unusual to get this level of strawberries in a whiskey, I would say.
Salty. Get the coastal note now. Kind of little bit of seaweedy sort of look, taste. Super strawberry again.
There's a balance though between the sort of sweetness and the bitterness in the palate. You're getting some of the tannins come through, balanced with the sweetness, and so it doesn't come across as overly sweet. The strawberry goes away and then comes back, and then maybe you get sort of like blackcurrants or something like that on the finish, or blackberries. Maybe blackberries that start to come through.
I adore port finish whiskey or port aged whiskey. That has immediately jumped over the Adnams for me.
Oh, really? I think I prefer the Adnams, but this is good, though, I would say.
That's Moorish for me.
This is Moorish, yeah. That's what people were saying online. They were saying
if I Moorish. Opened that, I would get carried away and do a quarter of a bottle easy.
Yeah, it's one that I feel like easy. I've been trying to save it for when I've got some friends around and we're just going to like just sit with a bottle, because I feel like it's one that will be perfect for that.
46% as well. That's like, that's a drinker's ABV as well, isn't it? That's decent. Top of the list so far.
Top and on. And for £50, what say you?
I say yay.
If it was £50 and you could buy it on the shelf, would you?
Yes.
There you go. Okay. So I think that's two endorsements for the first two. Should we move on to the third one? And then.
So do you want to explain what this one is?
Oh, yeah, sure. So this is... this is the Milk and Honey. It's a four-year-old. Again, it's a small batch. So all these whiskies are non-chill-filtered natural colour. And this one's a mixture of casks, remembering that obviously Milk and Honey is in a much hotter climate because it's an Israeli whiskey. So we've got here a coastal English whiskey, a Scottish whiskey, and now on an Israeli whiskey. It's ex-Isla casks, ex-bourbon, SCR, so shaved, toasted, and recharred.
Is this the drip tray dram? Whatever was left from some of the
projects.
I mean,
I wonder. And Oloroso as well. So it's just a real mix. And this, there was 1,284 bottles of this done. So that was the size of the batch.
Nose, interesting, old paper. Weirdly, like, I want to say, like, chestnuts or almonds.
It has that sort of paper note on it. Like, sometimes it can mean that the whiskey's been corked when you get that kind of, like, sort of paper note. I sort of get, I don't know if I get it so much now, but when I first smelt it, I got kind of like what you said, but also... kind of like gone off meat. I was a bit put off, but now it smells a bit better to me.
I'm not getting any gone off meat, I'll be honest. That's...
you know, like chicken when it's like...
raw chicken.
Raw, okay, smell. Raw chicken. You've helped me to pick. Yeah. But there's raw chicken.
Yeah, not gone off
paper,
chicken.
Chestnuts. And then there's a fruitiness in there as well. Sometimes I struggle to get past that sort of raw chicken because that's not what I want to smell on a whiskey, right?
Wow, that is...
surreal, isn't it? It's like, because
I don't know what to make of that. That's a spaghetti junction of a dram. There,
because like, it's just got
too many things.
It's
going
just
on.
It's just been in the ex Isla casks, right? It's not actually got any peat in the whiskey, I don't think.
See, I'm not saying this is complex. There's a lot going on. It's not complex to me. That seems a bit like something I would make if I just threw shit together.
Very good. Spoiler alert, Mike was contracted to go over there and put this whiskey together. And he did it just after a trip that he'd done to the rugby
hospitality. STR, what else you got? Yeah, tequila cask. Yeah, smash that in. Yeah. How much? A couple of drops.
Get that cider cask in as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's STR, X, Isla, bourbon and Oloroso mix. It doesn't say what the mix is.
Obviously, we are tasting these super quick, lightning fast tasting notes.
I can't get past those. This one's also £50.
I appreciate trying this. I wouldn't have got the opportunity to try it. I wouldn't have bought it. Having tasted it, I would not buy it.
Yeah, I'm the same. Okay, so that's interesting that you agree with me, because I was worried that it was just me.
No, too much. Just too much. Like I said, it might change. Give it an hour in the glass. It might be different.
I feel like I'm going to blend it with something, though. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I'm just going to use half of this and just blend it into something else to put a slight pea tang into something.
Don't add more going on to it. Put maple syrup in there. Oh, yeah. Make it better.
I'm,
do what?
I'm going to...
that should be your experiment.
I'm going to... see the bottle there? See what's left in the bottle? That's just down decant to the
that
shoulder.
Into a, like a Pyrex dish.
Maple syrup.
Put some
up.
Maple syrup in. Decant that, or neck it in one sort of like the what's the film where they neck? The road cops in America. Super Troopers.
I don't think I've seen it.
What?
I might. Right. I'll have a look.
That's your homework. It's absolutely silly. And basically, the rookie's challenge is a police film. The rookie has to down a bottle of maple syrup. So that's what you need to do.
I'll have a
down
look.
Down your maple syrup and then pour this into the bottle and see. Use the remnants because that might make it.
2001. Better. I probably have seen it. I'll watch a trailer or something. Anyways.
I think that's a really, really good dram for what Somerton is because it gets you tasting stuff you wouldn't have tried. It's a good one to share with people just to say this is an international whiskey. There's a different story to it. There's a lot going on with it.
It also has a sort of chalkiness on the finish.
I was literally going to say
very mineralic chalky on the finish. And there's like stone fruits in it. I feel like maybe there's stone fruits. That's the fruitiness.
That could be the chalkiness, to be fair. That kind of same between, kind
on the nose, like raw chicken. So summary, on the nose, raw chicken, paper, chestnuts, maybe like apricots or something like that.
Yeah.
It is a bit bonkers, right?
Yeah.
And then
apricot pips, Pete, motorway, spaghetti junction.
Really short on the palate. It just goes straight through to the finish and then it like sort of lifts. And then you get more of that sort of kind of stone fruit.
Chalky.
Chalky, very minerally. Yeah. Tiny bit of smoke. Yeah. Yeah.
Not a fan. Wouldn't buy. But yeah, I suppose that's what Somerton is there for, to put things out there that you wouldn't have picked up off the shelf.
Oh yeah, so, and we'll hear that. We hear that from Dan. Yeah. He's trying to do stuff that you would never pick yourself. You would never not pick yourself, that's wrong. Stuff that you wouldn't necessarily have thought about reaching for.
100%.
Think about the other ones we tried. There was that the Storning. Of the Stornings, I've tried a whole bunch of Stornings now, and I didn't really like any of them except the Somerton Club, which I loved, right? Mm. With the sort of heather note in it. And before that, we tried the Black Fox one. Do you remember? Mm. The guys from Canada who stole the whiskey outside, which you'd never, ever have gone and bought, but really excellent, right? Just, again, pretty bonkers, but, I mean, super interesting, right? So I think of, just to put it in context, of the last 5 or 6 releases, I'm saying I like all except one so far, and we'll see how that one goes. Right?
But that could be someone's absolute bag, and this is the good thing about whiskey. No one's tasted the same.
I think that's one that I'm going to leave for a bit and just see, and maybe do what you said, dose it in some sort of maple syrup bottle or something, or I'll play around with it. I'll experiment with it, right?
Take a bit out. Don't do the whole bottle because you could just completely mess it up. But
okay.
You never know. You could come back to that in 2 years and it'll just be magical.
Oh, see, now I've picked up the Adnams. I smell that and immediately I'm in love with it. It's actually got better in the glass.
Oh, mate, that's like refresher bars.
Old fruity, isn't it? You said Irish whiskey for this Adnams, but I think also it kind of has a sort of like that sort of fruity level reminds me a bit of sort of Loch Lomond and the sort of amounts of fruit they're packing into their whiskey.
I'll tell you what it reminds me of. French whiskey.
Oh, really? Which one?
Yeah. Is it the Bren?
Because this is 10 years old. This isn't 3 years old. 10 years old, right? So just as a reminder, this is not a new distillery. There's a small team there, but this is, 10-year-old whiskey on the coast, in Suffolk. I'm going to go Adnams first, then the port, then the milk and honey. And I assume you're going to go the port first.
I'm driving to the port to get a boat to Adnams and then sailing past Israel. Waving.
Well, I mean, a lot of people are saying at the festival's been going around, there's one milk and honey which has been really like blowing people away. I feel like this is, like you said, just slightly confused and not really necessarily a reflection.
Yeah, some of their stuff is amazing. Yeah. Like really, really good stuff. Again, the World Whiskey of the Year from, was it 23 or 22 now? Probably 23. We've only been going a year. It was all right.
That was the Sherry Elements one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfectly acceptable whiskey. Like if they'd taken away the weird award, you'd have gone, that's actually a really good one to taste. You should try that.
Do you know what? Random thing. I remembered in Edinburgh, there was a sandwich bar. I need to remember the name of it, but it was like one of these tiny little sandwich bars. You go in, and you know when they just serve people like lightning fast?
Hmm.
And they had so many options and it was so cheap. I think it was like...
Was it called Subway?
No. I think it was a little independent one, but I think I was just going to say, if I can remember it, we'll put the link in the episode. Because if you're in Edinburgh and you want to get like a cheap lunch, because some places in Edinburgh are rip-off. Some places are so expensive. And this place, you went in, it was like £3.70 for like, you know, a decent sandwich or a wrap or whatever like that, you know.
I mean, best value is Murrayfield. I went there and had a three-course dinner, didn't pay a penny, free. And I was fucking smashed.
Did you take a bottle of whiskey to say thanks to Ben? Was I imagining I that?
I gave him the Glendronach, because I said I didn't have any spares that you wanted.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
I gave him one of those. So it was a 2017, 18-year-old, so I think it was a 23-year-old.
Was it worth it, though, in the end? Do you know what I mean? I mean, probably better to keep the bottle, wasn't it? Like,
nope, definitely. That's a good one to share. And I went to the bar, I went... can I have a glass, please? I need to open this bottle of whiskey. It's my friend. And he went, oh, well, you can't just drink your own whiskey. I went, oh, no, he's on a very bad day. I've travelled quite far to give him this. It's just, I don't want to go into detail. He went, oh, okay, yeah, I'll give you a glass.
Oh, did he? Like, that's nice.
Yeah. I mean, we're in the beer pong place. It's not like it was all right. Fucking thing.
Did so you it crack came it out open of then? Like,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, because make sure he didn't put it in auction, the type bastard.
Yeah. You join it, put his name on it.
Yeah, I put Whiskey Wing stickers all over it. That'll peel the label off if you try and get that off.
You made him open it as well. Yeah. The trust is low here. Very low trust. It's like, yeah, cheers, Mike.
I think that was the first thing he went. He went, I'll smash that in auction tomorrow. I went, fuck, get it open now.
Open it now. Open it in front of me. I want to see it go hit your lips. He's like, no, I promise I will drink it. No, open it now.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Oh, well. Hello and welcome to another episode of Honest or Malt with me, Dry Mouth Duncan. And today, Mike Tupuds is currently drinking his body weight in Corporate Hospitality in Edinburgh. So this is a bit of a Brucey bonus episode, and we've got a very we've got Dan Humphreys on today, who's on a massive sugar crash. Dan, welcome.
Hello.
Yeah,
I can say that the sugar crash is real.
He looks like he's been out clubbing to 3 a.m., but he assures me that it was just party sweets.
Yeah, my friend came round last night, having been as a male, the only male on a hen do,
right.
And his payment for asking to crash around ours was a bag full of sweets, which we stayed up until 2 a.m. watching the new Halo series.
Oh my god!
Eating.
I've been watching that new Halo series, 4 episodes so far. I'm loving it.
Yeah, I am too. Because lately I've been like, what am I going to watch? What am I going to watch? There's got to be something.
Yeah.
And this came up, and I've got something. Because like last one that on this level, actually, no, I think was better, was I hadn't watched Alita Battle Angel ever. And got to it about 2 months ago. And, oh, wow, that was a great evening. Just stumbled across it. I'm like, I don't know, what is this?
Yeah,
and
I love a good sci-fi series.
Yeah, amazing. So
for me, I actually said this on a pod like a long time ago, but when the first series came out, it's that perfect balance between takes itself seriously enough but doesn't take itself too seriously. And
yes,
that right mixture between kind of action and dialogue and characters, I think it's really, really pretty good. I think that they've probably thrown a fair bit of money at it. So just in case people don't know or aren't sure, if you listen to this and you're a Somerton member, you'll of course know Dan Humphreys. If you don't, then Somerton is a whiskey club where you can subscribe, pay £50, and every 2 months they send you a bottle of whiskey, which Dan has carefully sourced. I myself am a member, and I have been a member for the last 6 bottles or so, which I pay for with my own hard-earned money. Dan does send us the bottles a bit early so we can have a try. So currently, Tupuds has the last 3 samples sitting in his whiskey shed somehow. So today, as a bit of a bonus, we've got Dan on to come and discuss the latest release. I think people would be fascinated to hear about it. So Dan, over to you to talk us through the latest release from Somerton.
Well, thank you, buddy. I just arrived just now, this last few days, has been our first of the year February Club bottle, which is a small batch 03 English single malt whiskey. It's in our livery, which is why it's called Small Batch 03. But what it is a 10-year-old English single malt from Adnams. Not many people know that there's more than one distillery that can put out age statements of double digits.
Mm.
And Adnams is the second. I think they're about the third oldest, maybe fourth oldest distillery in England.
It's all about East Anglia when it comes to heritage whiskey.
It appears to
be. In England. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where the age statements are coming from. And been chatting to them for quite a while. And last year we got a lot closer, tried some things. And some people will remember we did a single cask release from Adnams. And that was the last bit that brought our relationships together close enough that we could find a way to do this whiskey. And so we bottled it ourselves. We picked the casks that we wanted because they don't have a 10-year-old themselves. They just released a 12, but I wanted a different style of flavour that I was getting from their casks. And so picked these, put them together. There are similarities to our single cask because I really liked it and I wanted to share that experience. But the key thing is, like, I want to share to everyone, did you know that Adnams makes whiskey? And not just any whiskey. Great whiskey.
Yeah.
I think they should be on the English whiskey map.
Whiskey.
With the quality. Whiskey, sorry. Let's say that's the sugar.
They don't shout too loud about it, do they? I remember when Adams rebranded to become, I think, Beer from the Coast. I think it was like early-ish 2000s. I can't remember for sure. And they had that wicked marketing because, you know, it's from Southwold. They're in Southwold, right? Mm. Southwold's this quite pretty coastal Suffolk town. I think like stone kind of shingle beaches. My mum is a big fan of going there and walking in like, she's not anymore because she lives up north now. She's traitor. She's moved up north.
It gets colder. Why?
I don't know. But
that's my problem with going further.
But she used to go every, like January in around New Year's, every year she'd go and just walk around Southwold. So I have a bit of a family connection to it like that. So my parents have always been quite into Adams beer. And so I've been aware of Adams whiskey for a long time, but I'll be honest, I was a bit sort of, wow, how good can it be? So I haven't really tried much of it. Now, I've tried some of it a long time ago. So this was my first experience for quite a while. And it is actually lovely. It's really lovely. It's a lovely bourbon cask. So talk us a bit about the small batch, like the cask choices, age, ABV.
The key thing is, what I found for dealing with Adnams, chatting to them, getting to know them, is that their wood management is fantastic.
So they're good with wood.
Yeah, they are fantastic with their wood.
Yeah.
In early days, their single malts were in first fill bourbon barrels.
Right.
And so we have here some Jim Beam barrels. Come straight over, put that in there, and that was just over 10 years ago. So, and now that's what we're doing. So it's one barrel each of them.
So it's first fill into ex-Jim Beam barrels.
Yeah.
Right.
And lovely. Like I think their older stuff went into Jack Daniel's barrels.
Okay.
I may have picked up a couple of casks for us for the future on that one. Not that I'll give anything away. I'm trying to get a few nice single casks for the club for the future.
That's a good idea.
Things that I come across that's just lovely and isn't anywhere else. And this was one of them.
I mean, this got a lot of honey sweetness to it. And it's slightly floral, I think, as well. The ABV is about 48-ish%, isn't it, I think? So
yes.
It drinks really nicely.
Yeah, it was really quite fun because I've got next to me, I've got all the cask samples I went through to pick.
Oh, to put the four casks together. Okay, so
yeah, I think it's four or five.
So how many cask samples did you? How many casks was there to choose from? And you selected four or five in the end.
I just said this is the window of the production. You know, the casks that I want, which is right in their early days. So I have up here cask number 58.
Okay.
Through to 71.
Right.
So went through them all and just went, right, which ones are the ones that are my favourites and also have the style of flavour that I want to create?
Yep, yeah.
Or want to express. Let's not create. I didn't create the flavour. They did. Their hard work, their fantastic attention to detail the whole way along it.
You're just here stealing the credit, aren't you?
Exactly, yeah. Putting it in our label, it should, you know, I can't, yeah, they've done all the hard work.
I think if Summerton members listen to it, they'd be interested to know what you get on the nose and what you get on the palate for this whiskey. I think I've got it in my glass. Have you got it in your glass at the moment?
I have one of the cask samples here in my, just so I could do it, because I don't actually have the bottle on me at the moment.
Right, it's like deconstructed. You've got the deconstructed version of of this bottle.
But it's... vanilla. You can't not with bourbon cask, especially when it's a full term, first fill bourbon cask.
Yeah, go on.
You have to, that's just a note that's in there. It's almost, when you have a whiskey like this, you almost go, all right, That's there. Now, what else do we have in there?
Yeah, of course. There's a lovely drop of vanilla in there. But what else do you get?
So there's a creaminess to it, like a dairy cream, like maybe even a double cream. But it has like fruit. So it's almost like an ice cream. Is it raspberries, cherries?
I feel it could be like it's almost like sort of kind of stone fruity. So for me on the nose, I get the creaminess and the vanilla. There's definitely some caramel in there. And then I get kind of like somewhere between kind of like a non-sharp lemon. And maybe kind of stone fruits like apricot type stuff. There's quite a fruitiness going on, and I get kind of a hint of floralness and some salinity as well, like a little bit of saltiness going on within it. I don't know where they keep the casks. Do you know where they keep the casks?
Well, it is in Southwold, so it is by the coast.
I mean, there's just a slight salinity to it on the nose, but I definitely get kind of a floralness to it. It's very nice. It gives me sort of not massively miles away from kind of Loch Lomond type
bourbon. Light, fruity.
Yeah, light, fruity.
The only risk with it, is it the wrong time of the year? Was my only question with it. Should this be an August or a June bottle? Because it's such a light floral one.
Usually, these days, the UK gets kind of warmer around sort of, has a sort of a burst of heat usually March time, kind of Aprilish, and then it will go cold again. Most members will crack this open. They're not going to drink it in the first couple of weeks, are they? They're going to have it in the cupboard. So it's perfect for when spring comes, is my view on it, you know?
Mm. But the interesting thing, something I can share, because obviously members know that I don't share very much about our bottles in advance, is that this was actually a replacement. The bottle that was meant to be in February, when I tasted it, I went, oh, no, 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 no. You are perfect for a different time of the year.
Right.
So I moved it out. And it was from my. It was just at exactly the same time I'm having these conversations with Adnams after doing the single cask. And they were just, and we got to the point where we could do it. I was just like, oh, wow. Like, I thought this liquid was good enough to do a single cask.
Yeah.
I want the whole club to experience this. So the timing of it was amazing. So we've got another one that's just as good as this, coming later on, better totally. Than this, or whatever. However, everyone's got a different experience of it. But yeah, it's coming. This wasn't even first choice. And I think it's a winner.
You know what I get on the finish is it? Like when you combine lemon and orange juice together, you've done that sometimes. If I make like a pork dish, there's a pork dish I can make which has garlic in it with lemon, fresh lemons and fresh oranges in it. When you combine them together, on top of that kind of creamy vanilla, there's ever such a slight spice to it. It's so mild in terms of spice. There's very little spice in it at all. Maybe a hint of white pepper on the end. So I get kind of those two combined together and the floral notes and a little, you know, extra fruitiness, like I said, maybe stone fruits or something. But overall, what I would say is, it's a lovely drop. It's a very easy drinker with a lot of strength, depth. It kind of, it's a little bit cloying, sticks to your mouth a bit. It overall is something which just a joy to sip, really. So good job on this one, Dan. we'll let you know on the next pod what we thought of the last two as well.
Yeah, I'm quite intrigued because I always get really nervous. Every delivery, you know, you pick something, especially with something like this where we've actually bottled it ourselves. There's no one else involved in the decision-making process. This is all on me.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a nervous period. Luckily,
you're being judged every time. You're only as good as your last bottle, Dan.
It is. And everyone has a different set of taste buds. Like, you like it, but I can share one email with you.
Oh, about this bottle? Come on.
Yes.
Go on then, that'd be really funny. It'd be actually nice to hear both some lovely feedback that you get and some funny feedback that I think that would amuse people, right?
I hope they do, but it was I will drink it because my wife bought me it as a present, but the latest bottle, English Malt, is the most disappointing you have ever sent.
Oh no.
God knows what it tastes like, but it's not whiskey.
I can assure you, yes. It is 100% whiskey. Maybe they only drink peated stuff or they only drink sherryed stuff.
Yeah, that's it. But this is kind of, it's the beauty, the beauty of it, that we all have different taste buds, so we experience it completely differently. But yeah, it's also the worst thing about delivery months is that I know I'm going to get a few of them every time.
Do you get a few moaning emails every time then, do you?
Of course, because you can't hit everyone's taste buds every time, and it's a lot of money.
I guess, yeah. For us who spend more money than £50 on a bottle, we don't really see it like that. I mean, that old Pulteney was, and this year I was a bit sort of like raised eyebrow on it, but it's actually opened up to be a lovely bottle. And, you know, I would never have spent £75 on it, but £50. But I can't talk about that one too much more. So I think there is a festival coming up in... the Mecca the second Mecca, because the first Mecca is Kendal, and then people would argue then Birmingham. Yes. People would turn their nose up at London. Glasgow obviously has a huge whiskey festival, but there's this bunny one. This every 2 years so far for the last 4 years, you've put on a whiskey festival in St Albans, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, COVID ruined the 2 years thing, but yeah. We did some virtual ones. But yeah, we're back in St Albans on the 18th of May. We've got a really good lineup. There's a couple that I can't even share what they're going to be, because one of them is our next club bottle. Right. So I just kind of like, not going to talk about them at all. We've got Black Fox, the Canadian distillery from last year that we enjoyed. They're coming over, especially for the festival.
Yeah.
We've got another international distillery. That's your hint about next month. Coming over just for the festival.
Right, okay.
We've got Ben Romack were lined up last week.
Ooh, Ben Romack going?
Yes, we've got Ben Romack. We've got independent bottlers, so we cover in the Firkin, so we cover another big chunk of Scotch. We've got
not to mention
English Whiskey Company.
There'll be, I'm sure there'll be, last time there was, it was a beautiful day last time I went. It was gorgeous sunshine in the garden outside, and they've all got these little, you know, these little big, large sun umbrellas set up. And then inside the pub, there was like the masterclasses, which were really good fun.
Yes.
So I attended a bunch of the masterclasses.
Masterclasses are going to be great this year as well, because we couldn't fit enough brands in.
Yeah.
I've gone to them, do you want to do the masterclasses? So like we've got Annandale coming down to do a masterclass in each session.
That's great. I was talking to Annandale this week about Storyman. I had a chat with David, their general manager. So I was just going to say, last time it was really well worth it, because is it still at the Red Lion?
Yeah, Lower Red Lion.
Lower Red Lion.
The key thing about when I was looking at doing, people will kind of think, members in particular will kind of realize when I look at stuff, I want to do it differently to what everyone
else
does.
It's on a beautiful little cobbled street, though, isn't it? Pretty much.
It's 17th century pub. Yeah. You know, it used to be the old main road into London from Birmingham. So it's where there's lots of pubs along the way.
Great location. You
know, that era.
Easy to get to from London. It's super easy to get to from London.
Thameslink to St Albans, 10-15 minute walk from the train station.
Yeah, I'll be there this year. Just remains to see if we can drag Tupids along as well. I know.
I'll get him along. He deserves a hug. I haven't met him yet. But the one thing I would say about it is when I looked at festivals, they're all in halls and it feels like you're going to a school.
Oh, Festival at a Pub is winning.
Yeah, Festival at a Pub. And the aim is, because they have the best beer festivals, it's just to have a whiskey festival, like a beer festival. So it's out in the beer garden.
Yep.
There's food there. This year, we've not got the handmade burgers, just because Dave, the landlord, that is a hell of a lot of work.
Oh, but those handmade burgers were so good.
So I've got someone else, local restaurant, Indian restaurant. They're coming along.
It's going to be chapatis, is it?
It's everything. We've got curry bowls, we've got wraps, and we've got like finger food starters.
Lush.
And so we've got everyone, because we couldn't do vegan in the old way of doing it. So we got vegan, veggie, and meat lovers, all covered with delicious food.
Excellent.
Outside in the sunshine. Please let it be sunny. With at least 15
crossed.
Brands.
Yeah.
There's so much. Oh, it's going to be, as long as the weather's good, we are sorted.
I mean, you're getting excited. Last time as well, I was able to bring the Cavalier, Leo, and he had a great day out as well. So that was nice, because obviously it's at a pub that's dog friendly.
Oh, it's a dog friendly pub. It's not a child friendly pub, and neither are whiskey festivals. Duncan.
No, don't worry, the kids won't be coming.
But it is properly a dog friendly pub. Like, you come along with your dog, you'll be getting dog treats. There's water there for everyone. It's just a lovely place to be.
What I loved last time was a bunch of locals had just obviously piqued their interest and they'd signed up. So we had a real mixture of people in like the masterclasses. You had people that hadn't really tried much whiskey and were just sort of down having the crack, you know, enjoying themselves. And then you had like all of like the more experienced whiskey folk, and everyone was just really good natured. Everyone was helping everybody. Everyone was encouraging people with tasting notes and things like that. And there was a speaker last time. I can't remember his name. And that's on me. He's probably somebody really well known, but maybe it's the guy. It was the guy that was talking about how putting whiskey, water and whiskey muddies the taste. And I was like, oh my God, this guy's on my page. And I very, very rarely put water in whiskey. It's really
was it Ian?
I can't remember. I think he
Ian
might
Ian Wisniewski, long hair. He's a whiskey journalist.
It might have been, but I was like, this guy is in tune. Like, I was like, he's speaking my language. Because I feel like when you put water in whiskey sometimes, even though you can get more flavor, it kind of muddies the flavors a bit. It sort of dials them back and it makes them kind of muddy together. And he was almost lecturing in a good way, like a little bit about that. He was saying how he's written about it and stuff. And I was like going, oh, I'm just...
That is Ian. He at our first virtual festival, he gave two talks about the science of drinking whiskey.
Right, that was him. That was him then, yeah. Ian, yeah, what's his name?
Like, I mean, it's not for everyone, but it was so interesting. Well, for me it was. Not for everyone, but
I found
just
it fascinating.
Great learning about it.
I found it fascinating. So what does the rest of... So beyond the festival and the latest release, what does the rest of the year hold for Somerton then, Dan?
Oh, this is a really busy one and things you don't see. We're going to be a European club again.
Again,
we used to be a pan-European club. Right. We had members in every single country. Our first virtual festival, I think we had 16 countries attending.
Yeah.
And now, because of a certain vote, we only have two members in Europe who are willing to take the risk in customs charges, extra delays. But I've been working on it for quite a while, and it's not easy. But the aim is this year we're going to be a European club again and bring everyone together. Not every delivery will be the same because, but we're one again.
Well, fair play
which is quite important for me.
Fair play for having a crack. So that's the big target for this year is open it back up to Europe again. So you've got the festival, you've got the continuous
releases. Yeah, we've got the festival. We're bringing over another brand from another country that's not here yet. So completely new experience.
Right, okay. Romania?
Putting a bit more... Pardon?
I'm just having a guess. Romania. You can't say.
Oh, is it Carpathia?
I don't know. I'm just guessing a random country.
Well, no, I know that brand. There is a Romanian brand. Yeah. I'm linked with the master distiller because I was like, I've got to learn more about this. So we've got a bit of that. We've got new release, first taste of new releases. We've got our whiskey of the week emails
right. Are
going to get more pimp. Very soon.
Gonna get pimped.
Building up a relationship with a couple of brands to be, or one in particular, to be able to offer something really special each month. Another one to have awesome lucky dip. Like that, you've got to make sure if you're a whiskey drinker wanting a great deal, get on our wow emails. Yeah. That is going to be big this year. The club bottles is going to be another really, really interesting one because there's a few things that are going to have to happen to the club next year. And before it does, I'm going to maximize where we are right now.
Excellent, Dan. Great summary. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you very much for coming on. All right.
Yeah.
So, fresh with the Edinburgh trip, what have we got lined up next? I think we're going to be having Stuart Dick on from Tour of Vague soon, right?
Stuart Dick, good lad. Tour of Vague.
We're going to do an episode about Whiskey Computer Game. What else have we got lined up? Then we're thinking about doing...
Oh, anniversary.
Oh my God, it's our anniversary.
Yeah, so our anniversary is the 12th of March. I've got you a t-shirt with my face on it saying 1 year of love.
Right.
Then I think on the 13th, we are going to go and paint the town red.
Yeah, with Libby.
Well, have a couple of drams and a beer probably.
Right on the tiles. Lib
from Glasgow Distillery, you featured on our Blind Drams episode. Blind.
We should really throw it open drams. If anybody else wants to chip along.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Free on
so,
if you're in London... And you're free on the 13th of March?
Correct. Wednesday.
Feel free.
School night.
School night. Feel free to message us. And if you want
drop
to come out
DM.
For a drink and celebrate one year of the pod, feel free.
Yeah. It'll be hopefully more productive than the Christmas do.
That's my favourite Christmas do ever. Banger.
Yeah.
The champagne.
How many went?
The champagne two. Tower was... Hard to get through. Not enough people to drink all that champagne.
No, six bottles each.
Six bottles each.
Yeah.
Bollinger. All right. Okay. Well, thanks for meeting this week.
Yep. And as usual, follow us in all the normal places, Honest or Malt, at Whiskey Tip for Duncan, at Whiskey Wings for me. If you're enjoying the pod, give it a 5-star review. If I've insulted you, don't be a dick. Just leave us alone.
Just leave us alone. If he's had a rant about you, just leave us alone.
We'll catch you on the next one. Bye.
Just need to give a quick shout out as well to Steve McGill. It's to all our listeners. Steve is running a charity auction for Glasgow Children's Hospital. He's previously run art auctions to raise money for the hospital. This year he decided to go into liquid assets, as it were. He's not really getting the traction that he hoped for from a lot of distilleries in terms of bottlings. So if there is anyone out there, distillery, PR, that has spare bottles and wants to do a good thing, please get in contact with Steve McGill. You can find him on Instagram at granddadsteve61. He's previously raised just over £185,000. So yeah, the art world did its bit. Now it's time for whiskey to do our thing. So if there's anyone out there that can spare anything, please send it over to Steve. It's for a great cause. Anything you can spare. That's granddadsteve61 on Instagram. Bye-bye.
No, that's up my ass. I had a fucking northern on the train in front of me. What a he's in the quiet carriage.
On the phone, was he on the phone? Eating crisps.
With
eating crisps.
Eight cans of Strongbow. I'm like, you're off. And he was just pissed, being a nightmare, dropping
stuff.
Yeah,
so he should have sat in the lively carriage, basically.
It's all right.
Kids
he
screaming.
Fell asleep and missed his stop. I was pissing myself. I went, you better get up and make sure you don't miss the next one, mate. Sorry. Ran over.
Right. Not all Northerners are like that, just to be clear.
60%.
Yeah, 59%.